Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Stan Rose, a PhD MIT biologist turned life sciences executive and entrepreneur, created and led multiple businesses in the emerging fields of DNA analysis and genomics. After several successful ventures, he was suddenly diagnosed with a life-threatening genetic disease. Some of the same technologies he has helped bring to the clinic became critical to his own survival. Following a kidney transplant, he continued to contribute to science and medicine. His firm, Rose Ventures, Inc., works with early-stage companies developing innovative, high-impact life science products and services. Also, his new book is Can't Tame a Mongoose, Memoir of a Genomics Entrepreneur. And Dr. Rose, we thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
Certainly our pleasure to have you, and looking forward to hearing from you as well. So your book has a terrific title, by the way, but I have to ask, who or what is the mongoose? Let's roll it out with that today.
Sure. The mongoose is an animal that is, I actually came across in the Caribbean, although it's not native to the Caribbean. It's more of Asian origin, but was imported to the Caribbean islands to help address problems with rodents and snakes. It's a predator of those animals, and the mongoose look sort of like ferrets. There are a number of stories that have been written about these children's stories. There's a famous Rudyard Kipling story, but that's not what got me interested in the mongoose. What got me interested in this particular phrase, can't tame mongoose, is something I picked up actually while living in the Virgin Islands. And it's a phrase that can actually mean several things, but the thing that really resonated with me was the idea that a mongoose is extremely persistent and creative and resilient in going after its prey. And I find that successful entrepreneurs have to have those same characteristics. They almost have this unstoppable drive. It's this combination of focus and determination and creativity and adaptability to whatever the circumstances may be. But they can't be stopped. They can't be tamed. They're going to achieve their goal of getting whatever they're chasing.
Yeah, once again, a fantastic title. Good stuff there. Now, talk about your own trajectory. You were an MIT scientist, and how did you shift to becoming an entrepreneur? I'm sure that wasn't easy.
Well, I was at MIT in the late 70s and early 80s. It was a time when the biotech industry was emerging, and I was just really fascinated with what was going on in that industry. And I saw a number of my professors going off and joining companies or founding companies. And as an academic, when I went to graduate school, I was pretty convinced that I was going to pursue a career in research and academics. I just saw this whole new world emerge, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about it. Since I was at MIT, I started taking some courses at the Sloan School, and was just really fascinated with everything around new venture creation. And by the time I graduated, I was just convinced that that's what I really wanted to do, was start a company and see if there was a way that I could apply what I had learned about this emerging field of molecular biology, which was the basis of biotechnology, in a way that could impact people's lives for the better. And that's what I set off to do.
Well, good for you, and certainly a courageous move on your part as well. Now, we talked about the title of the book. So actually, what prompted you to write this book?
Well, I would say there were really two things going on. One is just over the years, combination of family, friends, and professional colleagues have encouraged me to share stories and lessons learned. And I'd always been a bit hesitant about it. I think primarily because I've been really focused on helping the businesses that I was involved with grow. But then it turned out, as you mentioned earlier, I think, I had to have a kidney transplant. I was diagnosed with a genetic disease that affects the kidneys called polycystic kidney disease. And actually, I've been very fortunate in that that first transplant lasted over a decade, but then I needed to have a second transplant. And it was really in the lead up to the second transplant, partly, quite frankly, as a way to give back to aspiring entrepreneurs, and as a way to take my mind off the fact that I needed to find another kidney donor, I thought it would be a fun thing to sit down and try and write up some of the stories that of experiences that I had that I thought might be of interest to aspiring entrepreneurs. And as I started out on that, and I think as any author encounters when they're especially a first-time author, you start out thinking you're going to write one thing, and then somewhere along the way you change your mind, maybe change your mind a half a dozen times. But in my case, I had an epiphany that there was a factor that, you know, that really hasn't been discussed much around why early stage or startup businesses don't succeed. I mean, I don't know how widely appreciated it is, but on the order of 90% of technology-based new ventures don't last more than 5 years. It's very risky business. And there have been lots of books and articles and podcasts and YouTubes about the reasons for failure. But one of the things that's not talked about so much is the impact of unexpected events. Anytime somebody starts a company, especially if they're able to actually get that company off the ground, they generally are smart people who have thought through their plans. They've presented them to investors. If an investor has put money into the venture, they've probably done their due diligence. You know, so by the time you launch the business, you typically have a plan. It's well thought through. It's been vetted. And yet 90% of these businesses still don't succeed. And, you know, you can easily list the reasons why businesses fail. But what I've found is that it's really challenging when you run into an issue that you just never saw coming. And that could be a challenge. It also could be an opportunity. Often businesses succeed because you encounter an opportunity that you never imagined when you set out to build your business. But you have to decide in that what I call moment of truth whether or not you're going to pursue that opportunity or not. So let me stop there for a second. But I think before I stop, let me just say I think that's really the central theme around this memoir. It's, I have a lot of stories I could share, but the ones that I culled together for this book, you know, all really talk about moments of truth where something completely unexpected came up. And as a leader, I and my teammates had to figure out, you know, how do we address this issue that we just never thought about before. And, you know, whether or not we're able to do that successfully, you know, would determine the success or failure of the business.
Well, I'm sure it's a must read just from the message and some of the details you've shared already. Really do appreciate your visit with us here today. We're speaking with Dr. Stan Rose, a PhD, an MIT biologist turned life sciences executive and entrepreneur who has created and led multiple businesses in the emerging fields of DNA analysis and genomics. His new book is Can't Tame a Mongoose, Memoir of a Genomics Entrepreneur, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, earlier you mentioned some inevitable, unexpected events. If you don't mind, give us some examples of those unexpected events that you faced, for instance, during your work in genomics. That would be some interesting details.
Sure. You know, the first thing I would say is that when I call them inevitable, the reason I call them inevitable is because they happen with a frequency such that if you're in business for 5 years, you will certainly have encountered things you never expected multiple times. So to me, it's not a matter of sort of if you will encounter one of these events, you will encounter something you never planned on. I think I can't speak to what the nature of that event will be, but I can give examples of the kinds of things I encountered. So, for example, in one of my businesses, one day we were developing one of the first DNA diagnostic testing laboratories. One day I went to a science journal club meeting and heard one of our scientists talk about a new technology that it became immediately apparent to me was going to make our business completely obsolete if we didn't get a license to that technology. And getting a license to that technology was very complicated. So there's an example of something where I won't go through everything we did to ultimately solve that problem, but if we couldn't solve that problem, our business would have been dead. In another example, we had a business that was growing really well. We were selling a biologically derived product that is used in research. It became a very valuable product and thus had a fairly high price point. And one day we realized that some of our customers, being biologists, had figured out how to make it themselves. So it was a bit of a bootlegging problem, if you will. That was something that we never anticipated, that our customers would respond to the attractiveness of the product by actually making it themselves. And so, again, we had to figure out a way to make it more attractive for them to purchase the product from us than to spend their time making it themselves, something we never really anticipated. I can go on and give you multiple other examples, but I'd like to give you a couple of examples of the kinds of things I think one needs to be thinking about when you encounter these events. And it's not, there's no single magic bullet, first of all. It's not a matter of sort of memorizing a list of a couple of things that I do or don't do. One of the really important messages I have is, you know, I think there's a practice that you need to develop. I think you need to operate your business and quite frankly, your life in a way where there's a variety of things you're doing that increase the likelihood that when you run into something unforeseen, you're able to leverage these capabilities to your advantage to come up with a solution. And I mean things like building relationships. Now, many people talk about the importance of networking in business, but often it's very directed. I feel very strongly that people ought to be developing relationships all the time and with no agenda, because when you're in that moment of truth, you don't know whose skill you may need or, you know, who you've run into in the past that might have a connection that you want to get access to. So constantly building relationships, listening to people, there's one practice. Another is acquiring resources. Just to be blunt, virtually every business I know needs more money than they planned on to start out with. So constantly being on the lookout for opportunities to bring in resources and have some stash that you reserve for a rainy day. Always considering options. This is sort of the last one I'll give here by way of example. But always just thinking in the back of your mind, you know, as much as I want to follow the path that I'm on, what happens if I have to go in a different direction? You know, are there one, two, three different things I might do or, you know, ways, alternative ways I might approach the problem? So let me stop there. And yeah, I think those are the types of things that I talk about in the book.
Tremendous insight and detail shared right there. I really do appreciate that, and I'm sure the listeners do as well. Now, speaking along those lines, what can entrepreneurs and leaders do to avoid these types of events?
Well, I don't know that you can really avoid them. And I think, you know, I've thought a lot about it. I think it's, if I had to pick one single word, and again, this is probably largely from the fact that I'm a biologist by training, it comes down to adaptability. It's setting yourself up to be adaptable. And in an interesting way, I think that's the way that life operates. If you think about the whole theory of evolution and the whole notion of survival of the fittest and how that actually works at a molecular level, what happens is in an individual's DNA, you're constantly creating new variants. A lot of people are familiar with the term variants now in sort of a negative way because we all lived through the COVID-19 pandemic. But that's a fundamental aspect of life, is creating new variants so that as the environment around you changes, one of those variants might wind up enabling you to be in a better position to deal with an unexpected change in the environment. So in a similar way, if you can develop enough relationships, enough contacts, enough excess resources, if you've thought creatively enough about different options you might pursue, these are variants that may be of use in a time of need.
Once again, we want to thank you for joining us here today on the program. Really do appreciate all the insights shared and for making the effort to write this book as well. Certainly a must read from everything I'm seeing here. Before you go, in conclusion, what advice would you give to an entrepreneur just starting out today?
Yeah, I think it's just to go into it realizing that businesses and life are complex, and that's quite frankly part of what makes them so interesting and beautiful. And but given that there are so many unpredictable things that might occur, I think it's important to move forward with a really healthy respect of things we don't yet know or understand or expect, and cultivate a practice that prepares you to best respond when you encounter events that you never considered.
Dr. Rose, thanks for those concluding remarks and advice. Much appreciated. If listeners wanted to get more information on your firm, Rose Ventures, Inc., or to pick up the book, Can't Tame a Mongoose, where's the best place to do so?
Take a look at my website at roseventures.net, N-E-T.
And that certainly is easy enough, and listeners, always draw your attention to the show notes where you can pick up these links and other information as well. Dr. Rose, all the best, and we thank you for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks so much, Eric, and thank you, listeners. Take care now.
Again, we have been speaking with Dr. Stan Rose, a PhD, MIT biologist turned life sciences executive and entrepreneur, created and led multiple businesses in the emerging fields of DNA analysis and genomics. His firm, Rose Ventures, Inc., works with early stage companies developing innovative, high impact life science products and services. Also, his new book is Can't Tame a Mongoose, Memoir of a Genomics Entrepreneur. And for all the details, simply visit roseventures.net. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.